It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 33, and we're going to read that chapter. We have already done the first six verses. We've even done from verse 7 to verse 11, but we're going to read the full chapter and then just review it a little bit and then begin at the 12th verse today. And so while you're opening your Bibles and beginning for the study, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And so I hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, and we'll begin reading the text of the Scripture today. So, Exodus chapter 33, beginning to read with verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart, and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swore unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites, and Amorites, and Hittites, Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. And the Lord said unto Moses, Say unto the children of Israel, Ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment, and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out into the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, and I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand up on a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with mine hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Oh, what wonderful words to read. Let's please go to the Lord in prayer now. Father, we thank and praise you for this opportunity to study your word. For those, dear Lord, that do not know you as their Savior, these words may and will not mean much. We need to come by faith to you. We need to be saved. In order to be saved, when we are saved, dear Lord, we know that your promise tells us, your word tells us, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live within us. Then and only then do we begin to understand your word, because we have the great teacher with us. Thank you, dear Lord, for that. Thank you that I can open your word up anytime, anywhere, and have the perfect great teacher teach me your truths. Please, that we never forget that, and never forget that this is your living word, your perfect word. So please help us to penetrate our minds and our hearts with your word, and let us listen as you speak to us. Now, dear Father, we need to be saved. We need to be born again. And so please today that those that are listening that have never come and never asked you to come into their heart and save them, today be the day that they do it. Maybe, dear Father, they have listened 1,000 times to this these messages, and they have ignored it and rejected it because they say, no, we don't do those things in our church. Oh, dear Lord, please, don't let some religion stop them from coming to you. So please penetrate their hearts today, convict their hearts today, and bring them to you for your saving grace. And dear Father, grow us as we are saved, born again. I know you as my Savior. I know you as my God, and you're in my heart, and I thank you for your teaching. So please continue to do that today. Again, I want to listen. I want to have good ears. I want to have my heart prepared to listen to you. So please today, speak to our hearts now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have in this first section, the section 1 through 6, that we've already been through. I want you to see that is a sad, sad statement. These people have come out of Egypt, and they have been led by God out of Egypt in the Shekinah glory cloud, cloud by day and fire by night, led them, brought them out of Egypt across the Red Sea into Mount Sinai. And during this 40 days that Moses was absent, why they begin to question. Too many, I suppose, had their eyes upon Moses, not upon the God that was delivering them. And it happens today too. Too many people get their eyes on people, and they don't. They should be looking right through the preacher, right through that teacher, and see a holy God. That's what they should see. But too many times, why we stop early and we get our eyes on man. And so it's easy for us to be deceived then. It's one reason why we study and I preach the scripture verse by verse, because I don't want anything to be out of context. And so we stay right with it. Well, these people somewhere along the line got their mind and their heart away, and they have received a name from the Lord. And that name is not a good name. It's a stiff-necked people. Ornery, they're jug-headed, bull-headed would be another word that maybe you could understand. They want their own way, and boy, isn't that the way of today? This the humanism that's in our schools, the philosophy, the psychology, all these things are making people to think they're so important. And the problem is that they're not important. The problem is that they're a sinner, and they need salvation. They need their sins forgiven. And that's the last thing that anybody wants to tell you, that you're of no value, you're worthless. We are taught today that we need to lift these people up. And, you know, once you become a believer and once you understand Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, then you do begin to be confident and are are built up with a strength, but only can that come. And it has to be God's righteousness, not a self-righteousness that's there. These people acquired a self-righteousness, and they were called a stiff-necked people. And God said, I'm going to consume you. But Moses stood in there in that way and intervened for these people that they would not be. We're told that there are 3,000 that were put to death immediately. I think they were the instigators. I think the rest of them that either followed along but weren't, just kind of got taken up in the moment, I suppose. God still holds them responsible here, and the people feared for their life. And so God says to Moses, Moses, you go ahead and take these people on up to the promised land, but I'm not going with you. Well, we have a beautiful verse of scripture here, because in this section of scripture, God tells Moses tells God, if you don't go with us, we're not going. And we need to understand that anything we do in this life, if God does not go with us, then we don't need to be there. And so it's a beautiful picture here. But I wanted to summarize that just a little bit of what was going on here. And so we find now that Moses takes this tabernacle, the plans this tabernacle. Again, we don't know what it is. It's not the tabernacle that is built, the unit that's 45 feet long and 15 foot wide and 15 foot tall. That's not been built yet. And so it's either a miniature model, something that God has helped Moses to build so he can see it and then bring it down to the people so they can build this unit. I'm not sure what it is, but whatever it is, its very presence Moses took. And we didn't look at this last week, or I missed it, and that's the reason I love review. He said he pitched it without the camp. We knew that. And we talked about last time we were together that Moses took this tabernacle, the model, and he takes it out the camp. But I missed a far off from the camp. So it wasn't just a little distance here. He took it way outside the camp, because he knew that God was very displeased with this people. And so, but we find as he did that, and then he named it, it called it the Tabernacle of the Congregation, and it maintains that title through its life. And so, it comes to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the Tabernacle of the Congregation, which was without the camp. And so we're not sure of a period of time here. We're not sure what takes place, because the people seemed that sought the Lord. They knew that they would find him in this tabernacle, with this tabernacle. So they came out to the tabernacle. But then when Moses went out to the tabernacle to meet with the Lord, we find that the men rose up and stayed. Every one of the men stood at their tent door. And they watched Moses until he had gone up into the tabernacle. So again, we don't know whether it was just a small little tent that was made. I mean, it isn't very big to start with, but it has not been made yet. We go through that in the next few chapters here. And so there's something here that represents this tabernacle. And so in the ninth verse, and it says, it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle that the cloudy pillar, the Shekinah glory cloud, descended down and stood at the door of the tabernacle. So you see, we don't know where this Shekinah glory cloud was found before. It was up on the mount, but when this terrible sin of building this golden calf took place, and they worshiped that golden calf and gave that God credit for delivering them out of Egypt and praised him for being able to deliver them into the promised land, which that old golden calf couldn't do anything. Remember what Moses did. He crushed it, and it went into the water, and they drank it. That was judgment. Boy, we got judgment there. And so we have this cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people, when they saw that, they worshiped every man in his tent door. They worshiped the Lord. Oh, praise God that he's come back. Praise the Lord that he sees the true light here. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. Now, it's the glory of God, and we're going to look at that here in the end of this chapter. It's the glory of God that meets with Moses. To see God, we cannot see God and live because of the sin. We're still in the old flesh. But Moses met with the Lord, and look at the relationship. They met with each other as if it was friend to friend. What a beautiful, as a man speaketh unto his friend, the Lord spoke unto Moses. What a relationship we have here. This is our God. Our God loves Moses. Moses stayed true. Moses wanted to lead the people. And he turned again unto the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Remember, we spoke that as Moses returned back to the cave. Now, why did Joshua stay? Did Moses ask him to stay? Again, please don't... we're not sure he was told to stay, and he did, or he did. 12th verse now. What's going on? Moses has to Joshua. And Moses said, thou sayest unto up this people, know whom thou wilt send with me. You see, Moses recognizes that he cannot do this without the power of God. And you've told me already, Lord, that you're not going. And so who is going to go with me to deliver these people? Because I can't. And look at that. I mean, see that. See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. God told him back in these other verses that you go ahead and deliver these people into the promised land. So that's what he's talking about there. But who are you going to send with me if you're not going? Yet thou sayest, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Dear Lord, you know me, and you have said that you have found grace in my... You have seen it, dear Lord. Grace, unmerited favor. It's present, and you have found that in me, and I thank you. Dear God, I praise you that you have found that there is grace for me. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight... And I believe that I have, dear Lord. Show me now thy way. Show me how I'm going to deliver these people into the promised land. Oh, again, if we would walk that way, if we would know that there was just no way possible that we could do the service of the Lord without His power and His presence. So often, I'm afraid, we go about and we come up with this plan and this program because, oh, church numbers are dropping, so we better do something, and man comes up with the program. Well, we need just to get on our knees and say, God, I ain't moving. I'm not moving until you show me that you're going to lead us, that you're going with us. Oh, what a beautiful picture we have here. I hope that you have seen it in the past. And if you haven't, I hope that you see what I'm talking about today. Again, verse 13, Exodus 33:13. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. Okay, you say, dear Lord, that you have found grace in me. You have shown that. I believe I have it. But now, dear Lord, I want you to show that to me. I want you that I may know. I want to know. And so there's going to be an action, and he's asking for something here. That I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Dear God, you have said, dear Lord, you tell me, that they are a stiff-necked people, and they are. But they are your people, people that you have brought out of the land of Egypt. So please now, dear Lord, do not forsake them. Don't let the Egyptians say the Lord wasn't powerful enough to deliver them. Please, that we don't miss that we know it's God's power. Now look at verse 14. And he said, my presence, Lord said, my presence shall go with thee. I will give thee rest. There is only one way of having rest. I don't care how hard you work. I don't care how many hours you work or you don't work. There'll never be rest until you have peace with your God. peace through salvation to begin with, and then peace through following Him and letting Him lead and let Him be with you through this life. That is what brings rest, precious, sweet rest. And He said unto him, verse 15, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, we're not going anywhere if you're not going with us. Look at that. So verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? I want proof. And if you truly have forgiven me and forgiven them, you will go with us. Show us. Is it not in that thou goest with us? Proof. Moses said, I want proof that you have forgiven us. I want proof that your grace has been laid down for us. I want proof. And that proof will be if you go with us. So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. We are a peculiar people. We are a separated people. And that's exactly what we should be today. And I say should be. But we certainly are not. We have joined hands. We have made alliances with so many people today that are ungodly. We are unequally yoked with them, and we seem to think that that's okay. Oh, God forbid. God forbid that we do that. We need to separate ourselves from this world. We are not of this world. Our home is heaven, and we are not. We're just traveling through. We're sojourners. We're just traveling through. And so please, don't put your stake down and say, okay, this is mine, because it's not. We're just traveling through. I love this verse of Scripture, and again, I'm going to read verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? That's a question Moses asks God. And he doesn't do it self-righteously. I'm sure Moses' head's bowed and his heart and his mind is pleading that God will prove to them that grace is true. And you know, when we turn our hearts to the Lord and we ask Him to forgive us of our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He is faithful and just. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't know if I'm saved, you know. Well, if you came to Him with a broken heart and called upon Him for salvation, He saves you, He keeps you, and it's not temporary salvation, it's eternal salvation. And so I hope that you possess eternal salvation. I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope you've called upon Him. Moses here is demanding and calling upon God. God, show us if your grace is true, if you have truly forgiven us, then you will go with us. Don't expect me to go without you, because I won't. We will not move. Is it not in that thou goest with us? If you've truly forgiven us, truly shown us your grace, you will go with us. So shall we be a separated people, because you see, God does not mix with the world. And so if you go with us, that's the only way we're going to be a separated people. We're going to separate from all the people that's on the face of the earth. Because we are your people, dear God. That's what Moses is saying. In verse 17, the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. Oh, look at these beautiful words. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Oh, our God is a wonderful God. He turns to Moses and he says, all right, Moses, you're right. I have shown you, I've saved you, I have saved this people, I will go with you. Now Moses You think about what he has just done, and he wants God to ensure, he wants God to show him so clearly that he has forgiven these people for this. He's watched 3,000 die. He has placed a plague upon them. And he says, I'm not going with you. And again, Moses interceded. Moses went in to show him, went in to say, I must see proof. Please. You know, we're to walk by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you look here at what God's calling Moses to do. And Moses is very much aware that he cannot carry this out without God's power and God's presence. So he's asking for something here. And what he is asking for, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He says, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy unto to whom I will show mercy. Goodness. God's goodness. That is his glory. We will see our God face to face when we get home. But right now, his goodness, his love, his grace, that's what we need to see. Moses is asking for more. I want to see you. I want some way that I can visibly see you. Enable me somewhere, some way to see you. That's what Moses is asking for. Show me thy glory. And God says, I've shown you my goodness. My goodness, the grace I have shown you, the mercy I have shown you, you've seen me. He said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me that thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. The Lord is going to give Moses a very special blessing here. He's going to show him his glory. He can't see him. And what kind of a visible means here that he shows him, we're not sure. But God does grant to Moses this special favor to show him more than any man has ever seen. To show him some physical side, physical part. Oh, our God is good. Our God is wonderful. We have some verses of Scripture we'll begin with next time we come together. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?